Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show. Welcome to the show. It is 4 minutes after the hour. It is May 11th, if you can believe it already. We've got a fun hour planned. My friends Bob Stromberg and Michael Pierce Donnelly are sitting around the table with me. We're going to have a great conversation in just a minute. I saw that a study showed that Mother's Day is expected to top $23 billion in the U.S. That means on average people will spend about $180 on mom. So there you go. And it also says that 25% of moms want a gift, but three-quarters of moms would just prefer to do something with the family. And that sounds like mom, doesn't it? And another story I read that caught my eye, there was this kid, and his name is Zach Prescott. He's a Boston University student. He's an athlete. He now holds the new world record, kind of obscure, but it's impressive. He ran a mile in 4 minutes and 43 seconds while juggling. He calls it joggling. So anyway, he's a senior on the Boston University track team, and he broke this record while the teammates cheered him on. Good luck with that, Zach, getting a date. All right. We're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, my partners from Triple Espresso, Michael Pierce Donnelly and Bob Stromberg, are sitting around the table with me. We're going to chat about what life has been like the last 23 years. Seems like a long time. Be back in just a minute. It is 7 minutes after the hour. It is 8 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. I don't know if a lot of people know this about me, but 23 years ago, I was part of starting a show with my two friends who are sitting around the table with me right now, and it's called Triple Espresso, a highly caffeinated comedy. So we're going to talk about that this morning, because why not, huh? I have at the studio Bob Stromberg and Michael Pierce Donnelly. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, good morning.
Hello, sir.
Hello. So let's give the audience a little bit of how this whole thing started. Who wants to give that a whirl?
Well, first I'd like to say one thing I love about this program is you give such helpful things that get my mind going. And this whole idea of not spending the $180, but rather just having a nice day with the family, I just think that is wonderful
idea. I'm here to serve. You know, save your money.
Yeah, that's
just,
right.
You know, just show up.
Especially if she, makes the food, then you really literally spend nothing.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think just the idea of being able to present this to her is a great idea.
All right, let's talk about the origins of our little show, which is now in its 23rd year.
Yeah, Triple Espresso, we started out by the three of us meeting for breakfast one day at a little restaurant in Roseville, Minnesota.
Not too far down from the studio.
Yeah, and we were talking about our careers and the things that we were doing and kind of thought, wouldn't it be fun to take the best of what each of us does and put it together and make some kind of entertainment.
Shoehorn it into a show.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And so we decided, well, we're never going to be able to do this unless we make a date. So we set a date for, 5 weeks out?
4 weeks.
4 weeks out.
Mm-hmm.
And
book a show, you mean?
Yeah, we needed to book a show.
Yeah, we decided that if we're going to do this, we better have a deadline. So we created a deadline called Book to Show. And at that point, we had not written one line.
Right. And so 4 weeks later, we went to Christ Presbyterian Church in Edina, Minnesota, and put on what became known as Triple Espresso.
We did a one-hour show, of which we ended up immediately throwing away about 20 minutes of that one-hour show,
yeah,
as I recall. Mm-hmm. And then we said, okay, let's start again. Let's work on it a little bit more. We booked it for another 1 month later at Wooddale Church for a family night. And
600 people showed up.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we had improved it and got it up to a one-hour show, of which probably of that one-hour show, probably 40 minutes of that show still remains in the, I would guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was it was a remarkable thing. And then let me see. At that Wooddale show, we had a director come to see it from the Cricket Theater downtown.
New
Bill
plays
Partland.
And new playwrights. That was their theme.
That's
which
right.
Fit perfectly into our world.
Bill Partland had directed many shows in the Twin Cities. He came to the show and he said, "Would you guys consider creating a full two-act play?"
Mm-hmm.
So roughly 2 hours. In other words, doubling what you have here.
Yeah.
Create a 2-hour play, and we could run it at the Cricket. And we said, "Well, if you can wait a year, we could do that because all of us were booked up with things."
Mm-hmm.
So we did that. We worked for another year. During which time we did the show, we played around with it a couple times and a couple events. And we did Youth Specialties National Youth Workers Conference out in San Francisco, I think, was it?
I think it was San Diego.
Or San Diego.
Yeah, it might have been.
As I recall, Tony Campolo played my dad or my scoutmaster, one of those things. not by choice.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the idea that we wanted to create something that was going to be something you could really laugh at and feel good about what you're laughing at. In today's current trend of comedy, I mean, nobody trusts comedy anymore because it's not used for comedy anymore. It's used as a weapon.
You know, it's really frightening when I hear about a church, because I'm a comedian, when I hear churches call, they say, "We're thinking about inviting a comedian, but we're a little concerned about it." And I said, "Well, you should be."
Yeah.
Because people have gotten burned so many times. But we thought, why don't we create a show for the world where we let the light shine as brightly as it can in that place? So we decided to write what we would naturally write anyway, the three of us, which is a squeaky clean show. But we wanted people to be able to laugh as much as they could laugh in a 2-hour period.
Yeah, but sometimes words like squeaky clean and family are translated into not funny.
That's right.
Yeah. And I think that's of concern because we always wanted to go, we want this to be funny.
Yeah, and it's not a kids show.
No, kids love it though.
Kids love it, but it's it's meant for adults. You know, you think of classic TV, you watch those shows, and it wasn't dumbed down. It was smart,
very clever,
and so that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to make something that was smart and funny, all on its own, without having to be, I don't know the rest of the sentence. It's early.
Right. You're doing good, though.
It's early.
You're doing good.
Thanks.
I think all of us had that conversation way back when, where we were influenced by Bob Briner's book, Roaring Lambs, where there was the discussion that Christians had left the arts and had left performing because news and media, movies, was not a place for Christians. And all of a sudden, then, you let Christians out of that market, and then look what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, why should you complain if you're leaving the market?
Yeah.
As Christians, if you're leaving the marketplace and leaving it to the world, then it's like Larry Norman's, why should the devil have all the good music? Well, that's for sure,
Yeah.
You have to be in there. You have to engage. And so we did. Boy, it was exciting to see. We remember in the early days there were people lined up around the block to get tickets to our show, and that was really something. It's fun, we used to come into the dressing room and joke about, we'd come walking in and say, "Can you believe it's been 10 years we've been doing this show?" Acting like old men.
Right. Now here we are.
Here we are. When I think that I was 42 when we started this show, and I'm about to turn 66, and you guys have also aged.
No,
as
I
have. Yeah.
Well, we were all younger and more attractive, and I've done my part to stay, remain. But yeah, it is amazing. 23 years now, and do you know how many roughly how many shows we've done?
Well,
collectively, because we've had
collectively
many other productions out.
Yeah, I think I stopped counting at 3,500.
Okay,
and
you personally?
Yeah, me personally.
Yeah.
And many of those shows we did together, but then we've done the show with other casts as well. So it's a lot of shows.
And there were times when we had 6 or 7 casts who were doing the show in different cities at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So those were years when many, 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 many shows were being performed. I can't imagine. You'd have to at least quadruple the number of times that we've done the show. So it must be up around 12,000, 13,000.
I think I remember going and seeing Donny Osmond in
Joseph in the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And I think in the brochure it said that he had performed like 1,100 shows. And I thought, oh, who could ever do that? You know,
as a kid, I got a Life magazine at my home. I was maybe 14. And it was a picture of Yul Brynner on the cover. Mm-hmm. And it said, King and I, and it showed him on stage, and it was the 1,000th show.
Wow.
And I remember, too, thinking, how could anybody do a show 1,000 times?
Right.
And that's an interesting question, though, because that is a challenge to do the show well 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I'm often thinking about is, for us, it's our 1,000th, 2,000th, 3,000th show. But for the person who's coming into the house, it's their first show. Most of the time. And so our job as performers and comedians is to be 100% every single time. Just to give, the, you know, they don't know what the next moment is, even though we do. So we have to make it fresh. That's our job. So I actually enjoyed that difficulty.
All right, let me take a break. It's 17 minutes after the hour. I'm speaking to Bob Stromberg and Michael Pierce Donnelly. My partners in Triple Espresso. We're performing tonight at Nelson Hall at Elim Park. You can go to Nelson Hall Elim, ELIMPARK.org, if you're in the Connecticut area. That's the only place you could go see us tonight. We'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute.
I had my headphones on, so I wasn't quite hearing it very well.
Okay, it's Eric Clapton. Yeah.
That's cool.
We are back. It is, I'm being joined by...
Is he a listener?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's 20 minutes after the hour. I'm being joined by Bob Stromberg and Michael Pierce Donnelly from the hit show, Triple Espresso. We have been in production now and performed for over 23 years. We started hopefully thinking that, can we get it to last 8 weeks? Was it 8 weeks or 3 months? What was our goal?
Six weeks.
6 weeks originally, yeah.
Yeah. So we were hoping it could last 6 weeks, and we prayed that God would give us an opportunity to stay afloat, and now 23 years later and 3,500 shows later, we're still doing it.
Yeah, I just bought a house. And
you had to find a way to pay for it.
I was thinking, I hope I don't lose my house. But we sure didn't. Yeah, it... I remember we started at the Cricket Theater downtown, Nicolette and 14th, where we ended up being for much of our 23 years down there, and hoping that we could last 6 weeks. And 3 weeks in, we realized, oh, my goodness, we have a hit.
Mm-hmm.
We were packing the place mm-hmm. out almost every night of the week. And so we brought in three new guys, and auditioned them and said, yep, okay, you want to do it? You're in. Mm-hmm. You're our new cast. Not knowing if it would work, because so much of the humor that we use is built around our own individual unique talents.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys came in, and we started teaching them what we did. And you were teaching magic, and Michael was teaching the music stuff, and I was teaching people how to do shadows. And we discovered in that 3 weeks' time, with Bill Partland's help, mm-hmm. a lot of help, we couldn't have done it without Bill directing, we were able to get a cast up and on stage
yeah.
to do the show.
Yeah.
But we didn't know if it would work. And it didn't even we didn't even have a bump in the road.
Yeah.
It just kept on going. Yeah.
Excuse me. So I want to talk a little bit in the last half hour about the impact the show has had, because we have had the great pleasure of greeting people as they leave. And so we have an opportunity to hear stories. And the stories have been transformational
yeah.
for many. Because like a good cry or a good laugh, it kind of nudges you if you're a little stuck. And boy, we've heard a million of those stories. We're going to share those in this, coming up in the second half hour. But this is, you know, we've all lived through life doing this show, and we've gone through a lot together. And I think we've been to 46 cities in 6 countries, and it's been translated into three.
Oh, no, you're way low.
Am I way low?
Yeah, we're almost to 80 cities now.
Okay.
That includes some cities that we've
I got to refresh my browser.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Michael, you've had an incredibly challenging last year and a half. or last year, really. So, and I know that the support that you have gotten from your, you know, your family and your friends and your community has been monumental in helping. But tell our listeners a little bit how, what happened, and then how, when you have to be in the funny business, how you remain funny when there's so much pain in your life.
Yeah. Well, we have two kids, Emma and Lewis, and Emma is 20 and she's going to school in Pennsylvania, and Lewis passed away a year and a half, almost a year and a half ago, in December of 2016, and he died by suicide, and he actually died while we were doing the show, and so I got a call when I got off the stage, and it was from Joy, my wife, and through screams and tears, she told me what had happened, and it was a moment that I'll never ever forget. And my two partners, you guys, basically almost carried me to my car, and Bob took me to the hospital where I was there with him when he passed away, and it was and continues to be a time that is shattering and confusing, and but at the same time we've found that there's so many people who are coming alongside of us and praying for us and being friends with us, and God's Spirit has definitely given us hope. But there's just no way around it. It's been a hard time. But just before 2 weeks after Lewis died, I decided, I think I want to go back and do the show. Mm-hmm. And so it was 1 day less than 2 weeks later that I came in and did Triple Espresso. And it was like a soul bath.
Wow.
Because those people didn't know what I was going through, and I didn't know what they were going through.
Mm-hmm.
But we shared the same room, and we did something together, and I heard people laugh, and I thought, I could still do that.
Wow.
And the show ministered to me, there's something about laughter and hearing people laugh and sharing that transaction together that is very amazingly healing.
Yeah. Like a good laugh or a good cry kind of nudges you if you're stuck, and it's oftentimes a really good place. Now, you used to be the musical director for Sunday Night Live.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that, and then we'll work backwards in your career because it's...
Well, Sunday night was...
Not for Bob and I, but it is interesting for
you. Yeah, it's not interesting for you guys.
No.
Sunday night, for those of you listening on KTIS in the Twin Cities, that was a seven-year run that we did a weekly radio broadcast, comedy and music, and Bob Stromberg eventually came on the show and became a regular. And I was the music director for that. And the host, Richard K. Allison, was just such a strong, strong presence and so funny and so creative. And we had a great time making these shows together, Jeff Miller and Richard Allison and I. And Richard got cancer a few years, in 1993. And so we kind of watched him slowly declining as the time went on with Sunday night, and it was hard to watch him deteriorate, but he trusted God the whole way, and ultimately God healed him in heaven.
Mm-hmm. And we were actually rehearsing Triple Espresso. We had not we were writing it and rehearsing it when the news came in that Richard had died.
The news that he died. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so Michael, before that you started off playing keyboards and singing, and you started professionally like about age 15, didn't you?
Yeah, my first gig actually was at a bar. My parents happened to frequent a bar.
We've got a 7 second delay, so nobody heard that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. It was called the Stardust Lounge. Okay. It was owned by a guy named Buster.
Sounds so made
Buster
up.
Had an organ, and he really wanted someone to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And so my parents called me up one Thursday night and said, "How
what do
would
you mean
you...
called you up? Didn't you live with them?"
Well, they were at the bar,
oh, okay.
And they used the phone and called me up and said, "Mike, would you like to make $20? And I said, "Well, that sounds kind of interesting."
Yeah.
And they said, "Buster's got an organ, and he would love somebody to come and play it." And I said, "Well, I don't really play the organ. I play the piano."
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "Well, it's pretty much the same thing."
Same thing.
"And what would I play?" "Well, bring your carpenter's book." You know, so just bring it, and we'll come pick you up, and you can try.
Yeah.
And so I came and eventually I did start to kind of play there regularly at the Stardust Lounge.
And did you do Carpenters or the Stardust?
I did do Carpenters.
They didn't boo you off?
Well, I was actually offered good money.
More than 20?
Not that much money. But I was offered really good money to stop playing.
Yeah.
People would come over to me and say, "Hey, dude.
Would you mind?
Hey,
just,
we'd really love
fine.
To play.
Just stop.
Yeah, just, would you just stop?"
All right. I've got to take a little break. When I come back, we're going to continue my conversation with Mike and Bob, Michael Pierce Donnelly, Bob Stromberg, my friends and partners in Triple Espresso. It's 29 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there coming up on Sunday. You're the best. This is Bill Arnold broadcasting live today. I'm in Connecticut at Elam Park and performing tonight at Nelson Hall Theater. If you're interested in seeing the show in the Connecticut area, unless you want to jump a plane and fly here real fast, you would go to nelsonhallelampark.org. Nelson Hall Theater at Elam Park. That would be the place to go get tickets. I'm in studio right now, which is a makeshift studio. Which is quite remarkable that we're able to broadcast where we are right now. I'll tell you the story later. But I have around the table my partners in Triple Espresso, Bob Stromberg and Michael Pierce Donnelly. And when we went, right before we went to break, Michael, you were talking about your early days performing at this place, playing Carpenters songs. What was that about?
Well, it was the songbook I had, Bill.
Give us a little sample of a Carpenter song.
"Why do birds suddenly appear every time?"
So I could pay you to stop you right now?
Yep.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, 20, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there was a friend of my mom's that came and was watching me do this, and she said, "Would you mind if I just sang while you played?"
Really?
And I said, "That would be fantastic."
Mm.
So she had a nice alto voice, kind of like Karen a little bit.
Yeah.
And she sounded great. And we started a band called Soft Touch, one word, one T.
Well, I know. I've seen the promo picture. It's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
And then talk about GT and the Halo Express.
Right.
My man.
Yes. after I moved to the Twin Cities, I met Doug and Debbie Kingswriter, and they were working on a series of recordings for children that basically took scriptures with the references and made them into songs and then put a storyline around them. And each of these, it was called GT and the Halo Express. So starting on tape 4, I started writing all these scripture songs, and it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Did 4 or 5 different ones, so wrote dozens of scripture songs that people still come up to me today and say, "I remember these scriptures because I sing the songs in my head."
So that's crazy.
Cool.
Give us a little Jeremiah 29:11.
Let's see. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I know the plans I have for you."
And our listeners can hear this entire fascinating story of Michael's beginnings and moving through his career in the by reading the book or watching the movie Buster's Got an Organ. It's a wonderful, wonderful book and movie.
It's a breakthrough. Yeah. All right.
That's not real.
That's not real. I think I hear the background music in my headphones, so I'm not sure if we need to go to break or not.
We do.
Let's take a little break then. We'll be back in just a minute with more.
Oh, I learned how to play this one.
Did you really?
I did. I learned how to play this one.
This is Root Beer Rag. Root Beer Rag, yeah.
Billy Joel, who celebrated a birthday yesterday.
69.
Yeah, 69th yeah. birthday.
Yeah, you do some good Billy Joel. Give us a quick Billy Joel impression.
It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. That's enough.
That's I'm talking to Bob Stromberg and Michael Pierce Donnelly, my friends and partners in Triple Espresso, and we are kind of talking about our 23-year history of doing the show. And Bob, the first time I saw you perform, I did not know you personally. I said to the person next to me, that man was born to be on stage. That was my very first impression of you performing.
How fun. Yeah, well, yeah. I remember that we met in Chicago
yeah.
at the Youth Specialties National Youth Workers Convention.
Yeah. Yeah.
There
it was Comedy Night.
It was
the
comedy
last night.
That's
and the,
right.
And it was you, me, Steve Geyer, and Mark Lowry.
There we go.
Yeah, that was the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was... we connected because you were moving your family to Minnesota.
We were planning on moving that in a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, well, when you get up there, give me a call. Maybe we can get together.
Yeah.
And the next time we got together was when the three of us sat down to have breakfast at the Good Earth in Roseville.
That's
there.
Crazy.
Yeah. I wasn't invited
you were the
by
tag along.
Bill, but Bob invited me. So I kind of showed up, and I was not a welcome guest.
Yeah, no, you weren't. No. But I think it's important for Christians to regularly sit down around tables and have conversations. That's basically what we did.
Yes, that's what we did. That's right. Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, what constitutes a leading of God in something. And I think it just it's important to stay awake, to be listening when opportunities come up to mm-hmm. go, well, maybe let's go have breakfast. Why mm-hmm. not? Maybe there's something here. And there definitely was for the three of us. It's been an amazing thing. And you know how fun it is, and I know you guys agree, I think you guys agree, how fun it is to be able to do this show 23 years later. When I think that I was 42, that now is almost the age of my children.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see that as being very young. And Michael, you were 30 years old. I mean, that's a very young man
yeah.
when we started this show. And now I'm 66.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at people who were 66 as old guys back then. And my wife recently, Judy said to me recently, when she saw the show over the holidays in Burnsville, Minnesota, mm-hmm. at the AIM Center, she said, you know, this show is funny with three old guys. And I think it is. I think it is.
And then Saturday we're going to be going to your parents' anniversary party. Talk about that.
70th anniversary.
Yeah. How nice is that?
For my parents.
This worked out good.
Oh, my. They've been at a retirement center out here in Connecticut as well. And since we've had the opportunity to come to Elam, this is our second time. Mm-hmm. And you've been here with your show. Mm-hmm. With the name of the show?
The Andrews Sisters.
The Andrews Sisters. Mm-hmm. And I've been here with my solo show, That Wonder Boy. And you were here as well to do some programs. And my parents... it's just been a delight for them to be able to drive down here to Elam, about 20 minutes to see these shows.
So yeah, now your dad was the principal of the high school, wasn't he?
He was. So I would have been the class clown. That was my desire from my earliest years to be the class clown. And I just envied those boys who were the class clown because I thought I could do better than that. But I wasn't allowed. I knew that would be the end for me. So.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. After 23 years, you can only imagine we've heard some remarkable stories of people that have been impacted by the show and for reasons that you might not suspect. Let me take a little break. And when I come back, Bob and Mike and myself, we're going to share some of those very powerful stories with you. It's 14 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll be right back. It's 12 minutes until the top of the hour. They say a merry heart is like good medicine. And that's what we try to provide here through our little show called Triple Espresso. If you are interested and you live in the Connecticut area and are listening, you can go to NelsonHallElamPark.org, and you can find out more about when the shows are and how you can get some tickets. Bob, you've been a performer forever, haven't you?
Yeah, since right out of college,
yeah.
I thought, well, I'll give it 3 years.
Okay.
I figured that 3 years would be the – 1 year is too short. 2 years, I thought, if things aren't going well, I'm going to start to kind of quit or kind of fade after a year. So mm-hmm. But I thought 3 years, that's long enough to say it's going to work or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really, really very glad that I took the time to do that.
Yeah, now you have training in classical. Was this classical training in mime?
Well,
mime training. Yes. I don't know how else to say it, but
yeah.
Also you're a brilliant comedian and storyteller and physical comedian. And the aspects of the physical humor has been one of the things in the Triple Espresso that you've brought to the show that has been so spectacular.
Yeah, I'm not sure I even understand it. I hear that about myself all the time. Certainly, in the mime training, that was very, very helpful. I studied out here in New England, in the state of Maine, with a man named Tony Montanaro at Celebration Mime Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Tony died probably 20 years ago.
Okay.
But the theater continues to teach physical theater. So I had that training, and it just came out of me, I guess. And facially, a lot of stuff happens with me, and a lot of that is just natural. People say to me, every night when they leave the theater, they say, oh, my goodness, your face. I can't believe what you do with your face. Do you practice those expressions? And I always say, honest, if I looked in the mirror and practiced them, I would never do them again.
Right.
I'm sure. So that's all. Some of it's fairly natural.
Yeah. To talk a little bit more about just your own performing experience, because, you know, when we put Triple Espresso together, we brought everything we knew how to do. And we said, let's put everything on the kitchen table and see what's there. And you played accordion. I mean, there were so many things that kept coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, I played accordion from – I started when I was 5 years old and played through age 12. And it was then 1964.
Mm-hmm.
And the Beatles were pretty big. And I don't know if there are any Beatles fans out there, but they rarely played the accordion.
Yeah.
None of them played it as their primary instrument.
Did you know that for a fact? Did you know that for a fact?
Okay. Yeah, I can see them even in my mind, the four of them playing, and none of them have an accordion on. Although there was one in Gary Lewis and the Playboys. One of the guys played the accordion, which was like a justification. I can hang in here for another year with the instrument.
Yeah.
But I said to my parents, I just can't do this. I can't play this anymore.
But they invested so much in you and the lessons and everything.
Yes, they did. They did. So, excuse me, my accordion sat in its case for many, many years.
Yeah.
And then we wrote Triple Espresso. And I had, in the meantime, really, I began my career out here in New England doing school shows. So, and that was mainly mime and comedy that I was doing. But I also then would, on the weekends, I was traveling around the country and I was singing. I'd written lots of songs, most of them Christian songs.
Yeah.
And I was doing lots of Christian conferences and retreats and leading music.
Mm-hmm.
And this was before there were worship leaders in churches.
Right.
You know, there were choirs and there were choir directors, but there were no worship leaders. There weren't even any worship songs hardly at that point. So I was sort of at the beginning of that, but, when we started Triple Espresso, I had a natural gift for leading songs.
Mm-hmm.
I had done that. So that's one of the things that I do in Triple Espresso. I do a sing-along. And I remember I had done this particular piece, My Home's in Montana, it's called. And I sing it with...
Home on the Range.
Yes, I couldn't remember. I've only done it.
How old are you?
I know. I brought that to Triple Espresso because we had to, in 30 days when we wrote this show, we had to come up with material in a hurry.
Mm.
So it was like, well, what do you have? And I said, I have a 10-minute sing-along
yeah.
that's very funny,
mm-hmm.
I've done it 1,000 times. I am so sick of it. I hope to never do it again. We had no idea that I would have to do this thing another 3,500 times.
Right. Oh, that's
but
hilarious.
I've grown to love it again through the years. So.
Yeah, and if you say sing-along and a theater show, you're going to make people nervous.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
You know, and
or accordion. If you say accordion,
well, I mean, that's, the accordion's a throwaway bit during intermission
that
lasts about, what, a minute or two?
Yes,
But that's nothing to fear. But when people hear about audience participation, most of the time they recoil.
That's right, yeah. And the idea of singing, especially out there in the world. I mean, Christians sometimes forget this, but people don't sing together unless they're in church.
Right.
Or they're maybe singing the national anthem at a sports event.
Mm-hmm.
But people generally don't sing together unless they live in Ireland, as we found out when we took the show to Dublin.
Yeah.
Boy, was that fun.
Yeah.
Here in America, the whole point of the sing-along is to get people involved in the show in a hurry, which it does.
Yeah.
But in Ireland, I couldn't believe it. They almost knocked me over when I said, sing this with me. And everybody, because that's a singing culture.
Yeah.
They sing in the pubs there.
Yeah.
They have for generations.
Yeah, so you were hoping you could stay in the business for 3 years. Now it's been way more than that. And so talk a little bit about what you're doing even today, because you've got a podcast on your own website.
Yes, thanks for mentioning that.
BobStromberg.com.
I have a podcast called The Wide-Eyed Creative.
Yep.
It's every week, and I talk about all things creative with people. It's been really, really fun to do that. It's been a challenge to create that and edit it and every week. But I've done that for a year now, and I'm going to continue as well.
Yep.
And then I travel, and I do comedy on my own. So,
mm-hmm.
And I also have a solo show, That Wonder Boy, which is produced by Dennis Babcock, same producer as
mm-hmm.
Triple Espresso.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping to do that more in the future. So.
Yeah.
And I love doing Triple Espresso. We normally have a holiday run. We're expected to have another holiday run coming up beginning in November again
mm-hmm.
in the Twin Cities. And I always look forward to it. This has been just a joy, I think, for the three of us to keep coming together yearly to do this show.
Do you guys remember a story of a guest that has left the show that said something on the way out that you just kind of go, oh, my goodness?
Well, I know that there was this one time when someone came up to me and, with tears in her eyes, and she said, you know, I haven't laughed since my husband died,
mm-hmm.
and that's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you opened up something for me that I haven't experienced in a long time, and it feels so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking a little while ago about a soul bath. There's something, if you can reach that place where somebody deeply laughs, you've unleashed something. You've cut something open
mm-hmm.
that can really be healing.
I was in Sarasota, and this woman came up to me, and she said, my daughter came and saw the show on Thursday, and then has brought me now to the Sunday performance, which was the last performance of the run. And she walked up practically with tears in her eyes. Mm-hmm. And she said, my daughter has been going through depression for 13 years. And this was the first time in 13 years I've seen her laugh. You don't know what gift you've given to this 87-year-old woman mm-hmm. with tears coming down her cheeks.
It's wonderful, and it has been wonderful to stand on stage and spot people in the audience. Sometimes it's a husband and wife. I know that we had a marriage counselor who one of the prescriptions for his counselees was that they had to come to Triple Espresso.
Yeah.
Because they had nothing in common. They couldn't relate.
Yeah.
But if they could laugh together, there's an opening there.
Yeah.
And to see families sitting, and sometimes you see a mom and dad and a couple kids, and maybe one of the kids has his or her arms crossed, and they're
mm-hmm.
not going to be involved in this. And then you can see them start to crack. And you can see the family laughing together.
Yeah.
And what a wonderful thing that is.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a little break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. It's 4 minutes till the top of the hour. I'm speaking to Bob Stromberg and Michael Pierce-Donley, my friends and partners in Triple Espresso, which is performing this week and all of next week at Nelson Hall Theater at Elam Park. If you type nelsonhallelampark.org, you can get information about that show, but that's only if you're in the Connecticut area, so unless you want to jump on a plane and fly here in a hurry. We'll take a short break and be back in just a minute. Special thanks to Bob Stromberg, Michael Pierce-Donley, my partners in Triple Espresso. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. You are so loved. And Michael, do you want to sing us out?
I write the songs that make the whole world sing.
I write the songs of love and special things. I write the songs that make the young girls cry. I write the songs, I write the songs.
Oh, that sounded like Barry Manilow. Thank you, Michael.
It's my pleasure.
That wraps up our show. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'll see you Monday. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.